Well, Merry Christmas Eve, or Happy Christmas Eve, whichever one feels a bit more grammatically correct. It's a great joy to be here with you and to bring in Christmas Day with you. What a day to celebrate and wonder at the wonder of God's love for us in this moment. The story that we had read to us before by Matt starts with this. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. We're reading a birth story. The Christmas story is a birth story. And I don't know what tomorrow looks like for you in terms of, you know, your lunch chats, but I know one conversation you won't be having with people across the table. You won't say to people across the table, hey, what's your birth story? Because that would be weird. Why would we have a birth story? It was fascinating. You generally only talk about birth stories when you're talking about famous people. Donald Trump, the Queen, Tay-Tay, the Big Three. But you only really draw into those because of the impact they've had upon the broader world. A significant historical figure, a significant political person, someone that's shaped the way the world is, a person of purpose that has changed our world. But there are other times that you read birth stories, and that's when they're personal ones. In my wife's family, there's a tradition that happens at every kid's birthday where we read the birth story, not the gory birth story. It's the nice version. But we read the birth story of the person whose birthday it is. And you're sitting there and you hear this story of, you know, they thought, oh, let's have a kid and, oh, it'll be lovely. And so they're trying for months and fall pregnant and the excitement builds And as you're listening to the story, and then you hear, I went to the hospital, and it was midday, and we didn't get. And then about midnight, she was born. And you're sitting there, and you realize the story is very, very purposed, and it's very beautiful, and it's very impactful because the person that you are reading about, that you're hearing the story of, the birth story of, is in the room with you. And it's personally changed your life in small ways and big ways. When we read this birth story, as we walk through it, we're not merely reading a story of a historical figure. It's true, but it's not the reason we're reading it. We're reading this story because this is a story of someone who has impacted and changed the world. Not in just like big historical ways, big movement ways, but in incredibly personal ways. When we read this story, it's like reading the story of someone you have met that has shaped your life and impacted who you are. What we see in this is someone at the beginning of Jesus' life, the life of purpose. And that purpose brings about so much for us. We've got 3 points tonight as we walk through this passage. One is a life with purpose. Two, what purpose? And three, purpose for us. First of all, a life with purpose. We have this big announcement. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. And then these words. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but she was found to be pregnant. Through the Holy Spirit. Before Jesus even born, we get a sense of the uniqueness and the complexity of his very existence. Mary and Joseph are pledged to be married. They're engaged. Typically, in that culture, engagement would go for a year, and then after the year, they would be married. They wouldn't have sex till after the end of the engagement period. And somewhere in the midst of this engagement time, within this year, something happens for Mary. She misses a period. She thinks, that's strange. Another month goes by and she misses another one. And then lo and behold, an angel appears to her and says, you're pregnant with the Messiah, with the one that has long longed for, long been promised for. And quickly, you see that this birth isn't in normal categories, right? Like, if you ever read birth stories, which you won't, so I'll help you out here. Birth stories, they kind of capture how the moment works. This is not an accidental birth. This is not a longed hoped-for birth between two people who are trying to start a family. This is a chosen, purposed birth at a precise time with an exact intention going on. God is at work here. There's a mix of emotions that floods from Mary. What a miraculous work of God that the Creator has done in her, the joy of God's plan fulfilled. But then also the fear. What does she tell her fiancé? What does she tell her family, her community? She's a pregnant teen outside of marriage. In that cultural moment, actually in most cultural moments in that situation, is an incredibly fragile way to be. She goes to Joseph, I imagine, with great trepidation. She holds to God's promises. She feels assured in those. She also knows that Joseph is a faithful guy, is a good guy. But surely she's still nervous about this. He receives the news and recognizes the complexity. Because Joseph was her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. You see the complexity that's going on for here. If he does go through with the wedding, there's going to be a wedding where she is clearly pregnant and has a massive baby bump. This will bring public disgrace upon her because everyone there will assume one of two things. Either she cheated on David in their engagement period, cheated on Joseph in the engagement period, or Joseph and her were not pure when they were engaged. He cares about her. He loves her. So you're feeling the weight of this moment of possible disgrace and horror. And Joseph, you know, he doesn't really know what to do. He's trying to work out, well, how do I help her? How do I work out what's going on? All options lead to kind of public shame for Mary in a culture that has a high opinion of purity. He's trying to work out the best way forward. So he goes home for what I reckon was a restless sleep. But he goes home to bed. An angel of the Lord appears. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. What we see here is a second intervention moment. We've had the first intervention, the Holy Spirit bringing to life this child in Mary's womb, and then this birth, this purpose, so an angel is sent to ensure the safety of this little one. That this little one will grow up in a family, that this birth is a life with purpose, a life that needs to be protected. It's not an accident. It's not a mistake. God has been working towards this moment. There's no regular occurrence. He has meticulously planned this. He chose these two to be the ones to raise Jesus, a life with purpose. And the question becomes, well, what is that purpose? What is going on here? We see it in the two names that are given to Jesus, one a name and one something he'll be called. First, they'll give him the name Jesus, and second, they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The angel still speaking to Joseph says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus was an incredibly common name, but it means the Lord saves or the Lord delivers, that in the nature of his name is an identity for him, that he will be the one who will come to save his people. That in this baby is a statement that there is a problem for humanity, there is a problem for people that he has come to fix. In this unborn child's biggest achievement is set in the womb. He'll be the agent of salvation. The life of purpose come to fix the problem for humanity. And there's a whole bunch to look at there, but one reflection I had on this is just to say that his very coming in for this purpose states that this might be a problem for humanity. His mere presence of him there to say this is what he's here for says, hey, you've got to deal with this. That the world is not as it should be. That there is something wrong to be fixed. This is not how it's supposed to be. Now, when I was 12, my father and I, we did a coastal hike. And as we were going on this coastal hike, my dad was constantly looking out at the ocean. And he was watching these two kayakers, and we watched them. It was like a 3-hour hike, but we watched these kayaks as they're doing a coastal thing and meant to kind of go along the shore. They were gradually getting further and further out in the ocean. And my dad, he has everything to do with boats, and he's worked in the ocean and lots of things. He knows this is not good. This is not good that they're getting further and further out. So he calls up the guys to go out and save them. And so the boat goes out to go look after them and bring them in. And then we heard back from the lifeguard after. They called back Dad and kind of reported the story and said, look, we saved them, it's all okay. And they shared with Dad the response of those in the kayaks. They thought they were fine. They were gradually drifting out to the ocean, but they thought, no, this is fine, we'll just come back in. It's okay. But the mere presence of the lifeguards is a statement to them, you're in trouble here. When you are this far out, when you are this far gone from the safe place, you're in incredible danger. The mere presence of Jesus coming into the world says, this is not the way it should be. We are in danger. There is something to be fixed. We're supposed to live in a place of beautiful, flourishing ways, and yet we experience a world that is not the way it's supposed to be. And Jesus comes in to fix this. That's the first purpose. The second purpose is this, one of fulfillment. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. A promise made many, many years before by God speaking through Isaiah to fulfill what the Lord had said, God with us. What an incredible statement. The God who is eternal, incorruptible, imperishable, comes to us in the corruptible, perishable, fragile creation. The invulnerable becomes vulnerable. This baby is the big becomes small. The creator submitting to the realities of creation. And it's important that the words that are there, that God with us, this isn't a statement of just like attendance. It's a word of God coming into the world to be in relationship, life connected. It's the difference between you happen to attend the same event with someone and you are with your friends at an event. Jesus is God with us, God come to be with humanity, creator coming down into creation. In Jesus, God is not a mystery. We aren't left wondering what he is like. We know what he loves, hates, desires, works for, cares about. When someone puts their faith in Jesus, when they become a Christian, it's not a mysterious moment. They're not blind to it. There's no blind faith there. They're putting their faith in someone who has laid the cards on the table. And I feel that this kind of part of the purpose feels like a weird addition. We're so used to hearing that Jesus came to save us from our sins. This is the classic Easter. It's kind of the classic kind of gospel thing that you would hear. We hear it more regularly all the time. There's something going on here in the God with us that is unique and important. It's helpful to recognize, well, this is unique not only in this kind of narrative, but also to other religions and life philosophies and other ways of thinking and that sort of stuff. In other religions and life philosophies, it's coming to the deity or becoming like this particular thing or gaining superior knowledge or attaining to a level of understanding or having the right political view. All those things are about you getting it right and coming to the place where you're in the right space. It's about you doing the work to get to where you need to be. It's about you attaining, you achieving, you going. Christianity, Jesus, is incredibly unique. He doesn't say, do all this and come to me. He says, I'm going to come to you. God with us. A fulfillment of a promise. It's a fulfillment of a promise and it's a shout out to the past. When in history was there perfect peace? When in history was there no disease, no war, no death, no lack? When in history could you possibly say this is the way it's supposed to be? There was a time in the very beginning of creation when God was with Adam and Eve and humanity was with God that was lost through the fall, through the curse. And from this point on, God has been in the work of bringing us back to that place. That everything was right. Everything was as it was supposed to be when we were with God. And God was with us. Jesus is God with us because, well, he wants us to be with him. The Creator enters his creation to restore it. God comes to be with us so the us can be with him. And then finally, the purpose for us. We hear this story, we know this story. But what is the shape in us? Two brief reflections, and I've switched these up, so we'll do a number two first. First one is it brings disruption. When you read of Jesus' birth in the Gospels, in Luke, the Gospel really focuses on Mary's experience of the story, but in this one, in Matthew, it really zeroes in on Joseph. It zeroes in on his life and his experience of this moment. And he is forever changed. There's this moment where his fiancée says that she's pregnant from the Holy Spirit. And an angel appears in his dream. This is incredibly disruptive in his life. And the angel says to him, "Do not be afraid." But we can't pretend that after this, like, life was easy and rosy and it was all fine. He marries her. And no matter how much he would tell his friends in the community, she's pregnant because of the Holy Spirit. You know that what people are like. There would have been disgrace and shame. Rumor would have spread. He willingly has his life disrupted with Jesus coming into it. The promise of God is given to him and his life is changed and made more difficult. And in Jesus' birth, in this beginning narrative of his life, we see something that happens again and again and again as Jesus comes into people's lives. That their life is changed. Jesus is the Messiah, the Anointed One. And when he comes into someone's life, when he meets someone, when he talks to them, when he shares truth with them, he becomes a catalyst, a movement changer, a direction shaper. You see it through all of his life that whenever he comes into someone's life, movement happens. Whether positive or negative, whether people become frustrated, angry, or fearful of him, or they bow down in worship, they adore him, they lean in curiosity, they become obedient to him. Here's the thing that you never find when people meet Jesus. You never find that they just go, "Nah, that's all right." There's no meh moment. When people meet Jesus, their lives are changed. They don't go, "Oh, I think I should just go to the synagogue a bit more." No, their lives, the very nature of who they are, is changed. What we see in Jesus' birth story is that when he comes into your life, it brings disruption. If you're a follower of Jesus in the room tonight, let me push on this a little bit to say, if you are not seeing Jesus changing your life, if you're not coming to this Jesus thing and seeing that it's disrupted and things are questioned and your life is on a new trajectory because of it, maybe you're not engaging with Jesus as he would have you engage with him. Maybe you've drawn up some, a list of terms and agreements that he'll get your Sundays and Wednesday nights and you'll be a bit nicer. Because when you engage with Jesus as he really is, as he really presents himself, as God with us, you are a different person. If you engage with him as God with us tonight in this room, you will walk out a different person. Your whole world has changed. And if you're not a Christian in the room, let's set some expectations for you here. The birth story of Jesus invites you into a life-changing relationship, one that will make some things harder, but will make all things more true to reality. Jesus is God with us. That is a disruption into our very world. That'll hit you in different places depending on who you are. There are people in this room who feel less than, who feel unworthy, who feel too broken, too damaged, too unfaithful. The disruption for you is that you are so incredibly dearly loved that God would come into your world. That he longs to be with you and have you with him. But those things are just not true. Your Creator is saying to you, that's not true. Well, for some of us, you might be in this room and thinking, look, I do the religious thing and I'm doing fine. Or you might be not religious and you think, I'm doing fine, this is all fine. Like, don't bring this disruption, that's inconvenient. It's a break in the system that I exist in. Well, the disruption of the Creator says to you, if he needed to come into the universe, if he needed to come into our world, then there must be something really wrong. When the Creator of the universe turns up, you know something is really wrong. Because he has the authority and the power to actually do something about it. To engage with him is to be disrupted and think, actually, there's a lot going on here. Maybe I'm not fine. And then finally this, to be with us. This is the wonderful story of Jesus' birth, a life of purpose, a life that communicates to us his intentions for the world and for us. Sometimes you hear stories of incredible journeys that people take to be with someone, or these incredible stories of preparation to do something for someone. And these stories, they warm our hearts and our hearts kind of long for them and love them. TikTok and Instagram Reels are built on these things. These are the stories of things that just fill us with warm hearts. These are the stories of, it's the soldier dad who's come back from the war and he surprises his daughter at the football game. And you see her just break down in tears and run to him, giving him a massive hug, just longing to be with him. It's the stories of these incredibly planned engagement stories that say, I care about you this much to put in this much effort to show you how much I want to be with you. We love those stories. We love those stories. Well, you have one of those stories. You've heard one. It's a story of a God who plans for thousands of years in advance to give you a gift. He prepares the world to receive this gift. He intervenes by his Holy Spirit. He sends his Son, who willingly gives up everything to be with his people to save them. He intervenes to make sure Jesus is safe in his family so that he can fulfill the promises. This tale, this story could not be a more elaborate story. It could not be more thoughtful, more planned, more purposed. This could not be a bigger statement to you and I of God's desire to be with us because he loves us. He didn't wait for us to be right. He didn't wait for us to be faithful. He didn't wait for us to attain the right knowledge or the right religious attitude or to get our lives together. The birth of Jesus, this little story, is not just a historical tale. It's a personal one. It says to you and it says to me, the Creator of the universe wants to be with you. He has planned and purposed and made a way for that to happen. There is no obstacle blocking his way. The birth story of Jesus is a life purpose to be with us, that we might be with him. And that is a story that is worth wondering at, that is worth being in awe of, that is worth longing for. And it's a story that's personal for us. Let me pray. Father, we rejoice at this time of year of celebrating Jesus' birthday. A story that is not just a historical event, but a personal story to us. We get to see the one who came down, who gave up everything that we might be with him, that he came to us to love us, to care for us, and to draw us closer to him. Father, we see in that the disruption of our lives. Father, help us to meet him truly. not on our own terms, but on his, and to know him as he has made himself known to us. In Jesus' name, amen.